meant what I said.
Hey, girls and gays.
Girls and gays.
Hi.
Welcome back to part two with fabulous Nelisa.
Yes.
Today, we have got a spicy episode. We are talking about debunking learned information about dating. Mm. Does dating have an end goal, or is it supposed to just run in parallel with your life? We're looking at labels getting in the way of us being happy, and also just rigid lines and going with the flow. And should we have a really definite opinion about having kids or marriage? Should it be a yes or no, or just a neutral? And what are the pros and cons of all of that? Mm-hmm. So buckle up.
Lucky you, you're in for a fun ride.
I know. Let's jump right in. Nelisa, Desire, tell us.
Yeah, so recently, like I was like in the hooks of like just really wanting to be with someone so bad, and I felt like it ached to not be with this person. And just like, I think we should all kind of be aware of when desire becomes aching, because it's quite painful. So like, I don't know. I mean, like, I think the Buddhists talk about this and like wanting, and if you don't want anything, you actually end up living a happier life. Like anything tiny is just such a beautiful experience, because you're not fixated on something the next day, the next whatever.
Mm. Well, let me ask about that. So that's, just to also be specific, when Nyaki was talking about Buddhism, that was Nichiren Buddhism. And Nelisa's, I think it's
just kind of general.
Yeah, that's the general Buddhism Nelisa's talking about. How is it practical to not want when you, every other part of your life is driven by want? Like your career, what you do with it, your family, how you're re-educating them. How can romance not be driven by, or at least not acknowledge even, just your desires? Is there practicality in that?
That's an interesting question to me, because desire has such a negative connotation. You don't have desires in the workplace. You have goals.
Which is a desire.
Right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean,
because me, what I would do if I was in your situation is, now I know that's not desire, that's infatuation. And you, for me, when it hurts to not be with someone, I've cooked up an image of us that's not viable, because if it was, it would be. And I've now attached myself to that. So the attachment itself to an infatuation is painful, not the desire itself. And that's why I think I'm not trying to not have desires. I'm trying to not have attachment to scenarios that will like abort themselves, because if they weren't going to abort themselves, then they would actually be in fruition right now. Or it would be easy. It wouldn't be painful. Like, things that are mine aren't painful.
Yeah, I think like a desire is almost like a crush. It should be kind of light and not harmful, you know. But that attachment, like that intense kind of like a more unhealthy spectrum of desire, maybe that hurts. So, and I think like in various ways, we have very strong attachments to things. I mean, we all do.
No, I'm pure and elevated.
Yeah.
Except for Nyak.
Y'all are waiting in the mud.
Yeah. Except for Nyak. Well, Nyaki, might as well keep chatting. What are you going to do? So you talked twice about your personal politics, and I have an interpretation of what I think you mean.
Don't you want to drag me offline, though? Because I feel like there comes a point in every podcast where you drag me.
Where I drag you.
On mic.
You guys drag each other.
Nyak dragged the shit out of me. The last two, when I was being honest about friends.
I listened to part one. Like, I was like, woo,
shit, girl. Okay, I apologize.
I feel like sometimes what we believe should be our politics can like scatter us.
Yeah. And oh my God. Yeah.
This is all my assumptions. You're going to clarify, Nyaki. My assumption is that your politics is equity, equality, feminism, and men have like continuously, historically disrupted a lot of good things, and that men in many ways have been cruel. So how do I reconcile that by wanting to date? How do I enforce my general macrocosm politics into the specific microcosm? Or you make dating a microcosm of the struggle. And then it complicates how you see men, because you want to like relax into being loved and loving and just like engaging as humans, but it feels like they've made it so, or that society's made it so that, you know, they're these different entities that are at war with each other.
Mm.
So how are you going to escape all that? Because all these big ideas, I tell you, the people, Gloria Steinem, all those people are getting their pussies licked. Like, they're enjoying themselves. All these feminists, and you're out here stressing yourself with these ideas.
I know, with my dry ass pussy.
So how can you hold both ideas that there needs to be work with men, but I'm not going to resent, and I'm going to heal, like, either through dating or while I'm not dating? Like, how, what are you going to do? What's your game plan? Because this is urgent, girl.
It really is urgent. No, it is urgent. You're right. And thank you, Nelisa, for like rubbing it in my face that I have a lot of work to do because now I can't ignore it.
No!
No, it's okay. Whatever. Whatever. You're here. It's done. Fine. I forgive you. I think what I'm really going to have to do is sit down and write down my political views and then write down what I feel I should do and then write down what I actually want. And then look at, and then I'll have to weigh that up because, or I could just tell you now. So I know that men should, that reparations, everything you said is right, that men should pay, that men should be sorry, that, you know, there should be some kind of, yeah, reparations basically. But I also know that I just want things to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I want like what you described, like you invite someone, you pay, they invite you, they pay, or whatever it is. I would love things to be that fluid, but I'm so scared of giving into that and letting down feminism and letting down all the women and being one of those women that are just complacent and complicit to male privilege. And also the, you know, the man has, especially if he doesn't acknowledge where he's coming from and that privilege, like, it just feels like I'm just giving up.
But think about it this way, like, speaking from someone who has lots of men in her family, like, I woke up and I was there, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in situations where I'm trying to point out their privilege and it gets a little messy, right?
Right.
But if they care about me, and they do, my proximity to them, wouldn't that invite them to see how they experience my world? So, like, in a dating context, like, you meet with you meet someone, you guys hit it off, but there's a point where you guys kind of don't agree.
Yeah.
I think he would be relaxed enough, hopefully, around you, where you can kind of invite him to look another way. I don't know.
Yes. Another thing, though, is that I don't want to have to do the work.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't want to do any of the inviting.
I just want you to come finished. Mm. I want the chicken to be cooked.
And I think those chickens are cooked. I think there are people like that who are cooked. But I think this unfortunate thing is with your energy now, you'll never align with them. You won't find them. And that's the oxymoron, of the fact that only once you release all that, will the person exactly that you wanted before come when you exactly don't need them.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy. Like bitch, so for real?
If a man is willing to show up to a conversation, like that's the battle half won, I feel.
Mm.
Like if he's open enough to say, okay, well, show me. Then
I hear what you're saying.
Depending on the energy levels at that time, you know, that because right now we're dealing with a lot of men who don't want to listen.
You've totally accepted that there's re-education and that you are going to have to be party to the vision you want. Like the man you want to, the men you want to meet, you seem to have accepted that you're going to have to also assist them in stepping into that.
I kind of know more,
Yeah.
But I'm not going to build, like, I'm not Bob the Builder.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are levels to this.
And I, you know what? I do see what you say. I have so much resistance to it because I do not want to raise my men. But I think it's also my language around it. So if I listen to what you're saying and if I apply it to my life, it's all degrees. And like what you said about how you have to teach your friends how to treat you. You have to teach your brothers and your father and your family members as well. I think for myself, understanding where my lines are and from which point I start, understanding that with you, Mukundo, I had to teach you how to treat me and how to hang my washing and not just hang yours. You know what I mean? Like, so there are bars. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you aren't teaching him politics. You're teaching him you. You aren't.
Correct. Correct.
It's like, I won't stand for this behavior when you talk about women in this way.
That's so much less loaded.
Right?
Ooh, yeah. What a penny just dropped.
Oh my God. Thank you.
And Elisa.
Jeez.
You need to monetize. How are we monetizing?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, okay.
We need to monetize.
We need to get
Let's get the Instagram page up. Yep. Come on, come yep. on. Wow. Ooh, I'm scattered.
Yeah.
That took the wind out of my sail.
That feels really good. I'm very happy with that.
Ah, moment, as Oprah would say.
Queen. Okay, now you're putting yourself on. No, I'm just kidding.
No,
No. I'm not calling myself Mama O. I'm saying she would say that as if I know what she would say. Because no, I have no idea what she would say, but I think she, I'm pretty sure, as much as of all the Oprah content I've consumed over the years,
I'm pretty sure
she would say.
She would say.
That was an aha moment.
That was an aha moment. Well, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about hours here of listening to Oprah's voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, not 5 minutes.
Now that you're a new bitch, 90 days in, what expectations do you actually have for men, and how have they changed as you have kind of healed?
Really, really, like, basic ones. Like, are you kind? Are you caring? A big one. Which isn't so basic, isn't so simple and easy. Are you aware of what you bring into a room?
Oh, okay. Ask him. Yeah,
you know, like, are you going to be an energy lifter, or are you going to be an energy like vampire? Like, yeah. Like, what can you say you bring that's good? Because you can't just walk around. I mean, a lot of people do this. Yeah. A lot of people walk around as like the Walking Dead, or like, you know, zombies, and yeah. They have no idea what they're doing and saying. And it's like, no, like, are you? I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't say that because it's going to hurt someone's feelings. Mm. Maybe I shouldn't comment on her weight for the third time. You know, like,
are these are your silent kind of questions or yardsticks, right?
Yeah. I don't think they're too. Kind of
those aren't high. They're
too high.
Yeah, no, those are reasonable.
I don't think they're too high at all.
So kind, thoughtful, like about your energy.
Yeah. Caring. Please, like, communicate in a decent way. Everyone communicates very differently, but please, like, talk. That would be amazing.
Any star sign preferences?
Kundua 2D pieces. See, the crazy done jumped out.
I'm dead.
I mean, I was about to answer. Like, I had an answer.
I'm surrounded. Okay, go. Give it.
I'm a Leo. Uh-huh. You know, I like the Aries man.
Okay.
I like Sagittarius man, too.
Okay. Mukunda knows what that means. I'm disagreeing.
That's just like, hella energy. So she only likes fire signs like herself.
Oh. No, but...
narcissistic.
Like, but my...
Very narrow-minded.
But my really close friend is a Pisces. You know, one of my closest friends is a Pisces.
Pisces are good third wheels.
We are. We're good supporting wheels. We are good supporting
but
wheels.
But I'm like fire, and she's like cool, calm, and, you know.
Right.
So it works.
Interesting.
Cancer, a little tough, a little on the tough side.
What do you think you want, Nyack? So not on the, on the, like, material level of what they look like and what they do, but as a person, like, what's
six pack abs?
Six pack abs. Eight, so Dad always talk about
eight
this.
Oh, we're on eight now.
Eight.
Okay.
Oh, that little lower one. Just
yeah,
the
one.
Those,
yeah, well, eyes are pulling down the pants. And
those ducts. Are those actually sperm ducts that we see?
No,
that
they're not sperm ducts.
Strong hench sperm ducts.
What do you mean sperm ducts? Do you mean testicles?
No, sperm
That's
ducts.
That's where sperm is, like, made.
Yeah. Oh. So what are those lines? What are those veins? Where are they sending blood?
It's just blood to the penis. And to the legs and things like that. Come on.
But to the penis when it matters, like when it's time.
Yeah. Although I feel like in a men's system, there's always a significant amount of blood. That's why we can't really think straight all the time.
Yeah. So yeah, what about your standards, Nyacky?
You know what? Oh, God. So definitely spiritual outlook. It has to be the same as mine.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Can I add that to my list too? Thanks.
Yes.
No, your list is closed.
No! Adding that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's just like the universe just needs to catch up, because like 3 weeks ago I was whatever else I was, and now I'm Buddhist, and who knows what I'm going to be in 2 months. Like, just catch up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, no, but it's not so much religion or belief system, but our spiritual outlook for sure has to be aligned, number one. I like what you said, Nalisa, like what you bring into the room. So I would like to know their at least political awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it to be aligned with mine, and then their stance like according to that. So I know what mine is, but I can still decide, it's okay, I'll pay too if I get there. Like it's still, I still know what I believe about the world politically. I hadn't really, see, now you're going to write me off. I was going to say, I hadn't really thought about it to this point, just because I've been avoiding dating and all the emotional, like the letdown that comes with considering being in a relationship with a man and all the stress that involves with me, yeah, and all the expectations that aren't met. And just previously, I've just morphed into like another creature when I date. Like I forget about myself and I forget that it's okay to be unlikable and like not agreeable. And so I just mold and I just hope, I enter hoping that they're just going to be right and so that I don't end up changing who I am. But then obviously they're another person and then I end up changing who I am and I don't really like who I am and it's hard to backtrack.
Yeah.
And then we have to get out and then I call them an idiot. And
You can always change your mind though.
I can.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That is true. That is so true.
Gosh. And it's much harder to change your personhood than your mind. And I think Nyaki's actually putting on a different skin like in Game of Thrones.
I'm a Gemini, so I have 52 minds.
Wow, yeah.
It's a little different.
You're so rude to me.
No, that's not rude, Nyaki. I think I'm saying changing mind is very... Saying that, oh, I like anal, then when you go and say, actually, I don't feel like it's changing a mind. But actually turning up as a different person is harder, but absolutely necessary. I'm just saying for the person, as you, that must be a bit harder.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nyaki's just going to step out. So me and Elisa are going to chat. I just find, why is dating so hard though? Because I think that it's the age old question. I think there's so many mismatched expectations. People's backs are up. Mm-hmm. Men seem really afraid that women just want to use them for money. Women seem really afraid that men just want to use them for sex and disrespect them. And both things can, like, we can enjoy both, like, we can enjoy each other's money and each other's sex and have what we want. But somehow that simple communication is just so hard to have. So like, what? How? How do we fix this?
I don't know, like somehow we just morphed into a space where we can't talk about things that make us uncomfortable.
Ooh, I think it's that.
Wow. Like, we just...
Vulnerability. We're not willing.
Yeah, we're just not willing.
We're not willing to be vulnerable.
But also, like, there are consequences to being vulnerable, right? There's, like, rejection. There's all these negative things. But then don't our brains work in, like a bit of a negative feedback loop?
They do, hey? You know, it's actually really, like primal.
Don't open yourself up because this is what's going to happen because that's what happened last time. And you have to actively fight against that every single time.
Are you romantic? Why do you get up every day and decide, I'm going to be vulnerable and, like, open to romance?
Oi, I mean, I'm still having a hard time with that because of my refusal to be seen.
Your refusal to be seen. Oh my God. What is that?
Like, it terrifies the shit out of me.
Oh my God, I relate.
If you see me, if you actually see me, not if you hear me talking about something that was difficult for me in the past. No. I can admit anything.
Once they can see you through all of it.
If they can
see. Through the bravado, through the everything, through the performance, through the Nalisa who's like the head girl energy. No, like who you are, like you. If they see through all that.
My God, it's the scariest thing.
It really is. Do you think then, man, do you think it's all of us that we want to be seen, but also like we're just terrified of what that even might be like?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like what is someone going to do with information they
have? Do you know what I mean?
It's like, so scary.
Mm-mm. And I think that must be harder for men because we've been taught to perform from day dot. You know, you're 5 years old, your cousins come over, you all play, but somehow you're supposed to be the one who offers juice. Like, you're supposed to, all these small things, and then you role play being a woman and being kind and accommodating.
Mm.
So we know what it is to perform. But men, it's not... It's really much more implicit and an undertone of what you're supposed to be. And it's never communicated explicitly, but there is a type of manhood you're supposed to step into. And so they do with no like, just, I don't think it's very, it's not an active participation.
It's like they were raised to not be a human, not be human beings.
They really were. Like,
there's no room for a lot of men to step into their own feminine.
No. Oh, but. balance. Okay, so men, so feminine energy is what a lot of these dudes are lacking. And that's what's fucking up the planet.
If a man does not step into his feminine at some point in time, it like, that's how we get the toxic masculine.
Oh my gosh. Like, this shit is so obvious, but bars are dropping now.
And what? also as a woman, if you in your masculine too much, which I've tended to be, and your feminine isn't necessarily honored. When I say feminine and masculine, it's not gendered at all.
Yin or yang.
Yeah. So if a woman is in her feminine, is in her masculine too much and doesn't honor her feminine, she starts getting sick. I start getting sick.
There's so much I need to understand about masculine and feminine. I was at a spiritual thing like last week and I asked, I was like, well, what about like, this is feeling not transphobic, but just exclusionary and like really binary. So where's the space for the language we use? Like, how do we, what happens if you're not really interested in like those binaries? And so I'm still finding my answers.
Looking
at it as yin and yang, is good as well.
Yeah.
So just consider yin and yang, or red and blue, hot and cold, whatever.
Yes.
And it's funny, I have a friend who was looking at all her, what do you call them? Her goons. And she was like, the one she really, really loves, not the most, but she's really taken to, she realizes she really loves him because he's really feminine. And like the way he communicates, the thoughtfulness of like buying gifts. If she mentions, oh, I really like Tolstoy, next week there's a book when they meet. Things like that where, like, the applying yourself to appease someone and to constantly gratify and, like, love them to be loved, which is, like, a thing women do with everyone around us. We, like, accommodate, we're kind, we're constantly in exchanges to, like, make sure that we're adding value, but also that we, like, give to receive, that men don't have to do. Men don't have to actually, haven't been trained to give to receive. They just get.
I have a question. Does he kind of initiate dates? Does he?
Oh, it's a she.
Does she initiate dates?
Never. So she believes that
the... No. So like the...
Oh, the person. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
The other person.
Absolutely.
Giving her gifts and...
Absolutely. Calls the Uber, but is like, be here, he's be there.
I think that's way more of a masculine energy than a feminine energy.
Do you really think so?
Yes, because a masculine energy is going to be the container.
Uh-huh.
And like, if he does all the planning and if stuff, and if she's like, I love Tolstoy, and then he gets a book, like he's creating a space for her he's creating the space for her to enjoy. That is more of masculine energy than a feminine one.
But then these niggas who do none of that and they're in their masculine, do you think they're just levels? It's like different. They're tapping into like the different strata of masculine energy when it's just sitting here and I expect to receive. I don't expect to doll up. I don't expect to perform. I don't expect to do what male birds do and like court you and dance and look good. I just expect to receive. I don't even know if that's masculine or feminine, or rather just like the bad, or not bad, just the like how they've been raised. I think if you see your dad do that their whole life, you see your brother do that, if you're raised to do that, I think men are really told they can come as they are. And so they do come as they are. Mm-hmm. And when women say that's bad behavior, they're like, but it works every time. I still get my dick sucked. I still have a girlfriend.
Mm.
I don't pull my weight and I still get results. So any animal, any computer looking at data would say historically, this has worked. Not like investing has worked. And so I don't even know if that's mask or femme. Or I don't even know if that's to do with energy as much as it's to do with just behavioral.
I think that's just more of a behavioral thing. So when I say masculine, feminine, I mean, I know it's like the words are so like.
Loaded.
So loaded. But in the simplest form, how I identify someone as having a masculine energy, girl, guy, whatever, is if they create the container, if they are the kind of the, not gatekeeper, but mild authority. So like if someone is like, be ready by 7:30 PM, I'm picking you up and we're going to go to this restaurant. That is a very masculine kind of thing to do, like go out, get things done. Like the more feminine energy is kind of like the flow, go with the flow. Don't necessarily go out and get things done. Just come with the warmth and the love. Mm-hmm. You know, and men can have that too. Like, you know, if I'm with a feminine, a man who's predominantly in his feminine, which means he's kind of going with the flow. He's not leading. I'll get very frustrated with that kind of thing.
I cannot. Because I take that for complacency and laziness.
Yeah. But there's a place for that man. He's not for me. I need someone who's going to out-masculine me. If I already come as
I see that.
I'm a pretty masculine woman and I need some other kind of figure to surrender to. I know that was also pretty loaded, but we can't be locking heads all the time.
That's so interesting. Cause I think I'm also like the planner, the initiator, very active. And I assume that's what I want. And every time a male falls short of that, I'm upset. But I don't think that would work. Like, I can't see us both initiating.
You can't.
So then I think I just also have to accept that what I'm told I'm supposed to want, I should stop reading kind of going with the flow as passivity or like lack of effort as much as just a character type.
Yeah.
And not like an affront. Like, you're trying to specifically undermine me by not respecting me because you're not planning. It's that no... someone has to take the lead and like this lead and this follow and like that can shift, but I have to be honest about where do I stand and what do I want outside of like what I think is expected of me. Cause that's like really hard, especially like with let's say like Twitter feminism, when it's like, oh, this man, you know, you gave him pussy and he didn't even buy you diamonds. And you're like, oh, okay. So there's supposed to be a transaction. They're supposed to initiate, but also pay first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, what am I you start to internalize other people's standards, which are fine for them. But if you internalize them and you haven't like properly aligned yourself, like if you're misaligned and if what you want and what you kind of know to be true aren't aligned.
Yeah.
Then you can just really end up in like
circles.
Mess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think that's how I've complicated my dating life is I think I know what I want, but I don't because I haven't looked at like my subconscious as well. Like what the messaging I've internalized, I've just looked at what's on the surface.
Yeah.
Oof.
Subconscious.
Hectic. Subconscious.
Oh my God, there's so much there.
Well, tell me, so what is the worst date you've been on?
I was trying to think about this, but I actually haven't necessarily had too many horror stories in terms of like date. The horror stories has been like, oh, this situationship and what it brought up. It's like, oh, that didn't end that well.
Yeah.
Or maybe, yeah.
What's the time rather than in a relationship where you didn't, or any situationship, you didn't listen to your intuition and it blew up in your face?
I just stayed there for too fucking long. Like, I just stayed there for too long. And like, oh, like, I was seeing a guy or getting to know a guy. And I found myself trying to... convince myself that I could be small for him.
That
blew my mind when I figured it out after the fact, obviously. I was like, yeah, I kind of felt like I had to be this shiny, like achievement kind of person, to kind of be with him. But then I, you know, not necessarily be too inquisitive about life.
Yeah, like not disrupting, being a Stepford.
Stay skinny. Like literally that was part of it. Like whatever the fuck that means. Like,
and did he ever ask for these things?
Mm-mm.
So you just assume that must be what I need to have you accept to keep this up.
Yeah, to keep this up.
Hectic. It's so funny because I think a lot of the time when we blame our partners or like we say we have bad dating lives, most of that, if not all of that, is like down to us and
Yes.
End to end. Like how we search for our people, how we behave in that relationship, what we assume they want and get mad because we try to fulfill what we assume they want. And they never even asked.
Yeah.
They didn't even ask for that, first of all.
The amount of responsibility I've had to take.
Yeah.
Was way more than I thought.
Do you know?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I think like what I'm learning is that when I start dating again, I'm not dating this year. If I don't like communicate what I expect and what I'd like, I really just can't be upset when it's not met. I just can't assume we all have the same reference points for dating.
Yes.
And can't take it personally, which is really difficult though. I struggle so much. I really continuously like attribute behavior or lack of behavior to like what they're saying about me as a person, as a woman, which I just like, yeah, I just do struggle so much with that.
I feel like dating and relationship, it's such a good classroom.
It is. It's such a good training ground, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, if you just test stuff out with your family first, you know.
And see how that turns out.
I think it kind of, I know there's a huge element of sex is involved and sex isn't involved in one, you know, in the different contexts. But for the most part, I think, you know, you set boundaries. If you don't set boundaries with your family, you can't set boundaries with other people in your life. Well.
Facts.
Like, if your siblings are showing up at your place unannounced and there's no emergency, like no one's dying kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
You know, like.
So you're really using like how you set boundaries, using your family as like the training ground, I guess, because that's
more for myself than anything, because now I like you. I'm going to want to overextend myself for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to practice what boundary setting means.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I won't do it for a romantic partner if I don't get that shit on lock.
Fact. Oh, that is so relatable.
I'm back.
And with a question.
Yes. So, Nalisa, while I was out thinking about life and everything that you've brought to the table today, which is a lot more than one should bring to a regular dinner party, I was just thinking about you and this single life. And like thinking about me and my single life, and I've been on my, oh yes, it's so good to be single, dating myself. Mm-hmm. But like the way you describe like the wholeness of your single life, like how did you get there? So from wanting to be in a relationship or knowing that you would like a relationship, you'd want to be in a relationship, but you're single, like how have you managed to have a wonderful single life while there is this also, desire, maybe hope in the future somehow of a relationship? Like, how do you even get there?
I mean, it's going to be difficult to answer this question because it's like little habits every single day, you know. Like, you know, I meditate. So, like, it's a practice, you know, that I wake up first thing in the morning. I go to my couch and I sit and breathe deeply for about 10 minutes. Like, that's it. Also, I'm really into toys.
Oh, yes.
Quite
for
a
minute there, I was like, "What does she? What does she play with?" Like,
oh yes, no, like toys.
Yes, our toys.
So, like, I'm not gonna give the responsibility of getting off to another person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it to myself, and I'll enjoy myself. And you know, obviously, like, I'm not saying I don't need anyone else. It's like, no, like that. The human touch is the human touch is beautiful, but. I'm not going to wait till I get into a relationship to enjoy myself sexually.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, just like a deep dive into truths that might not have been true before or might not be true now.
Right, right.
Like, you know, everyone's different. Everyone has certain ideals that they hold in their head. And if you just kind of let go of one by one and reframe a few things, you know, I realize actually a lot of people love me here. You know, even a stranger can love you. Like it's an interaction with someone on a plane. It can just be so beautiful. You guys could be like, you know, kind of co-creating whatever. And then you guys go your separate ways, you know.
But can I ask, I think so much, I have a feeling your job, you meet a lot of people. As a writer.
Yeah.
And so you're constantly in, there's a constant maybe as in anyone who's single and interested is fair game. And so you can, what you're learning and what you're meditating on and what you're thinking about, you get to practice in really small ways by saying yeses, small yeses or small nos, or by being in spaces, even where like men are present. And that is like how to experience your energy and their energy in a room, like really basic stuff that like you just wouldn't get if you weren't in. I think you can only learn through doing.
Yeah.
And I think you've internalized all this information, but you also practice consistently, not dating actively, but just like you aren't working at home. You went to a coffee shop and so a man sat next to you and then you talked. So if you don't, and aren't having those experiences, I don't know that you can get to where you are because you just have to do at a certain point.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, you know, I mean, I am in the position I am in, but it's also my choice to want to engage. You know, it's my choice for me to pick up information that I'm seeing from someone else. You know, also a big part of my job is being in a writer's room. You know, like I've watched my bosses talk to each other, which was like a masterclass in communication. Mm-hmm. Like they are so kind and respectful towards each other and with their ideas. Like I hadn't seen, I was like at the front row seat watching people communicate effectively and disagree effectively and put their points across effectively. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, everyone should talk like this. Like, you know.
Does gender play a role in that? Like in their relationship?
They're both men.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hectic.
They're business partners, yeah.
Right. And okay. And maybe I'm trying to wrap my head around this too, though. So you're happily single, but is dating in the back of your mind?
Yeah.
Is it anywhere in your mind, or is it just an ebb and flow of life? Like it just happens as it happens?
Ebb and flow of life. It happens. Like, I mean, I sink into moments of like, oh, I want to be with someone. But that's very, it's like fleeting. Mm. It's not, it doesn't grip me as much as it used to.
Yeah.
It's an ebb and flow.
Do you think it's a natural desire or a learned desire?
I mean, I think we should be with other people. I think we should be in community.
Community. Dating is romantic community because it's not really platonic. Mm. Or what's the word you used? Agape. What?
Agape.
You teach me the word. I'll say it better than y'all hoes ever did.
I'm so dead.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think the big benefit of romantic relationship is like being in a classroom for your like about yourself.
Someone's locked in there with you, basically.
Pretty much. Like you are learning. Like it's the quickest way to heal because a whole lot of shit's going to come up to the surface real fast.
You're the only
real fast
human being that sees it that way. Like, I've never... and I agree with it, and I think it's right, but nobody I know or have ever had this relationship with, or even just casual relationships with my friends, nobody's like, I want a date to better myself. No! They all want a companion. They want a hand to hold. They want someone to watch, you know, and eat popcorn and movies with. They want to watch popcorn and eat movies. I mean, so unless you enter it like that, like, it's just a shit show.
Yeah, because there's weird expectation and there's not quite defined expectation. And it's also, if examined, it's not necessarily reasonable expectation.
Yeah.
I think we definitely, me and Yak, I say me and Yak because we come from the same family, that we like.
Or so you think, I mean.
So you think, you don't look like our parents. Let's start there. How about that? You're the Chloe of this.
I'm the middle child, so whatever, like it fits.
But I think we need to... Dating, so the cultural background we come from, dating is like an active pursuit because you're supposed to get a husband and then have kiddies and like that's kind of the majority of your goal in life. And so
it's and then the next thing you aim for is for those kiddies to have kiddies. Like it actually just
quite a kiddie mill, a cat mill. and so I think if we could throw that away and start afresh or like debunk what we learn, then what Nell's saying wouldn't be so alien, otherworldly or like, shocking, surprising, amazing. Because that what you're saying now, it actually just makes a lot of sense. You know, it's just making a lot of sense. And I would love to start from a fresh... I just have got a lot of unlearning to do because if you're going to date, it's an active pursuit that now you're committing and investing and doing really consciously. And how I'm interpreting you now saying it's conscious, but it's integrated with life. It's not alongside and a specific pursuit with an end goal. It's just an integrated action. In the same way making friends is, you meet someone, they're cool, you go for coffee. It's that same kind of comfortability. And I want to learn to make it that integrated and not like it, not a special project that needs a special attention that I don't already give to every other project in my life.
This is the thing, though. Yeah. So, like, I feel like that this is where labels get in the way of me being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I could just let it integrate, then I wouldn't need to define a point where this is what we're called now, as opposed to, hey, do you want to do this thing with me? And maybe let's not do it with other people if we want monogamy or whatever it is. And then it flows in and out. And is this working for you? No, not really. And have it be that fluid. But there's such rigid lines around when it changes from platonic love into relationship love or romantic love.
Mm.
There's such hard lines that it just
it's suffocating.
Stressful. It is suffocating. Yeah.
Like, yeah. If someone asked me, what are we? I would probably freeze. Mm. Be like, oh, does it now mean I have to act a certain way because there's this label?
Yeah.
Can I still be free?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm, very interesting. Even so, a family friend, her daughter's been dating a guy for 5 years and she's getting restless, this auntie, because she's saying he's wasting her time. You know, what is he doing? Are you going to propose or not? And that's interesting to tie into what we've been discussing, is that like this end goal, this like constant like looming in the background that, you know, this has to equal something.
Yeah.
And something, it can't be in the now. It has to be in like the promise of forever. Mm. And I think that frames a lot. Like, what are your thoughts on, are you trying to get married? Or are you interested in marriage, Elisa?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
If it ain't a yes, it's a no.
Like, yeah, it's like it's weird. Even just being married and being a mother. Like, I'm just like not entirely sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And Yak, you, would that be interesting?
Nope. So no. While I understand, so when the penny dropped for me about the purpose of marriage was when I thought your definition of relationships, like what they're for. What they're for, that's when I realized that is what marriage could possibly be good for. Apart from that, I don't. So when you already find yourself in a marriage, make sure that it's to make each other better. But for me, I absolutely am not interested, because I feel like it's a superficial structure that stops a natural progression in a relationship or a growth or an exchange, and that natural ebb and flow. And it also takes away the responsibility or even the trust in each other to be there when they say they'll be there. And then to have almost the courage or the integrity to not be there when they don't want to be there anymore, and to communicate that and to let it flow out. And like, it's just so rigid, and it forces people into these shapes that, it's not one size fits all. It's just not. It's just not. And we're expecting to be. And there's so many different ways to be. So for me, I think marriage is a waste of energy. I also think there's just so much emphasis put on this golden thing of marriage, where a man chooses you and deems you, you know, worthy to spend the rest of his life with. And this is back to the chasing thing that I was talking about earlier. That's when the chase stops. And then like, then it's downhill. Like, unless they do some serious work and change gears, it just, for me, it's just a mess. It's a mess. There's no reason why I'd want to get married. And I probably don't want to raise children. At the moment where I feel now, I don't want to raise children. If I raise children, I don't want to raise them with a man, for sure.
Ooh. So then question against, to respond is, if you don't, you said at the moment you don't want to get married, or you don't interested.
Not interested.
Do you think your opinion on marriage has been formed by your limited experiences of bad marriages? Because wouldn't a neutral be, I don't know, I'm open. Like, I'm open. If I don't see a benefit in it, then I'm not against it. I'm just open.
Now, that's important. So if I don't see it, so yes, it's been informed by bad marriages, but I'm grateful for that, because now I've been forced to or encouraged to apply logic. So if I don't see a benefit in it, or if I don't see a non-benefit, there's still no reason to be open to it. Like, why is that one of the choices? Like, why is that the only choice? Actually, it's marriage or not marriage.
Oh, so it's not that. But we're not talking about the absence of marriage. We're talking about the presence of marriage.
Yes.
But it's like saying, I mean, I don't know why I'd want to go skiing. I'm not going to go skiing, but I haven't thought about it. Like, I don't know. I mean, contextually, if it happens, it happens. But I don't really necessarily want to go now.
But if skiing doesn't appeal to you, then it's not a good enough reason to go skiing just because you haven't heard why skiing's bad. Like, if you...
Okay, but not appealing is not neutral. So not appealing would mean I had information that said it was not... The reason I'm saying...
Not that it's not appealing, it's that it hasn't appealed to you.
But if something hasn't appealed, then I'd be open. Because who knows, like, open to possibility. Open doesn't mean active, like, kind of erring on willing. It is willing. It's open. It's not a yes, it's not a no. I'm totally open.
Exactly. And I don't think that that's wise. I absolutely think a strong yes conviction is the path to follow. Otherwise, there are a million things to do.
But being neutral doesn't mean you're not... Being neutral means you're not resist. So you're resistant. That sounds like resisting.
I'm absolutely resisting.
And so, and that's always from a... That's not... So resisting is never a... positive, like, that's not a positive drive. Okay, what I want for myself.
Okay.
So, okay, Sydney and Monique. People are going to clown Monique. I love their show. They have a podcast, Sydney and Monique Show. Or it's called Sydney and Monique's Open Relationship, and they talk about things. And they said, what's shaped how they communicate with each other? Zeb decided, let's do this forever. And so because we're doing that forever, let's, in the same way siblings or a family member that you love would, you foster relationships with them knowing it's forever, and you try like mitigate the how volatile it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're fighting with a situationship person versus with your cousin or your sister who you love, you have different stakes because you know it's forever and you're actually trying to keep this thing intact together. And that involves tact and communication and compassion that you don't actually need with somebody who you can just chuck in the bin. So if you now foster that with someone who's not your family, say, I know you're another person. I love you. Let's see how long we can go for. And let's shoot for the stars with this and actually treat each other as if this is going to be a long-term thing. You invest really differently. And so for me, I'm quite interested in any marriage that resembles that relationship. That sounds cool to me. And I think my issue with Nyack, what you're saying is, to me, it really sounds like you're resisting and you resent or just put off by marriage. And anything that's resisting or put off is not from a positive driver, like neutral or positive. And that's not going to serve you still to be so against something that you don't really know about. Actually, you've only had the bad side.
Mm. It's okay to not know. Like, don't make a choice.
As in,
don't decide, I'm not going to get married, or I'm not going to be a mom. Just, it's okay not to know. It's fine.
Because we're pushing against these nebulous ideas again of, I'm 27, I know people are going to start asking about kiddies, and so I'm like, I don't want kids, but that's actually, I'm responding to the voices in my head from my aunts, from all these people, from society. I'm not actually making a choice as Mukundwa. As Mukundwa, not right now. I don't know. I just don't know. Clearly not if I haven't had them, but I just don't know. And I'm not interested, but not actively pushing against.
So think about like the energy you take out
right
from saying no, and like the constant defending.
Yeah.
Just it's okay just to say, I don't know. And it's not anyone's problem.
Mm.
It's not your problem. It's whoever is asking you the question because they want a certain kind of answer from you. It's their problem. I don't know. It's so much easier.
I hear what you're saying, and I do hear the coming from negativity and how that doesn't help me, and also feeling the pressure to have an answer and to be okay to not have an answer. I think my gripe, and yes, it does come from anger, so I do want to work through that and let that go, but my gripe is feeling that there really are only, that I have a choice, and there's a, almost that there's a right choice, or that there are two choices, and that it's either, yes, you do want to get married, stick with that. No, you don't want to get married, stick with that.
Yeah.
And I think, so everything you describe, Kundwa, is what I want. I think I want to allow myself to determine those parameters out of choice, not out of bondage, which for me is what it feels like, which I think I would be operating from a higher place to have that relationship like Monique and her husband, to say with someone, to not be defined, but decide after a period of time, do you want to try go for this? Like forever, like this is the benefits we could have. And we reach like a consensus together, like a logical conclusion.
I see what you mean. And I think what I'm understanding from what you're saying, Nak, is that already the term marriage is already making it two options.
Yes.
Whereas had we just chucked that away, then it's limitless.
Yes.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it does make it easier. I understand why it's there. It like takes away a whole lot of options. That's great. Fine. But I really want the freedom. And, you know, and back to what you were saying, Nalisa, as well, like even just, so I agree with you. It is okay not to know, but I also want it to be okay to be no. And for that no, for me not to need to caveat it no for now. Or no, to be, and if not to be vilified. No, I don't want kids. And, you know, I don't need all my aunties up in arms, and I don't need, now I'm, you know, a woman hater. You
change your mind.
That's so true. You change your, when the right guy comes, oh God, leave me alone.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Because no could be yes tomorrow, could be no the next day, could be yes tomorrow. 100%. So it's not actually, okay, I understand.
And given
that
I'm a Gemini, it's going to change.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Or just a person.
Or just a person.
You can change your mind.
I can change my mind.
You can change your mind.
That's the third biggest takeaway from you today. Thank you.
Gosh. Wow. So let me do. So thank you so much, Nalisa.
Thank you for having me, guys. This is amazing.
Absolutely. It's been such a pleasure. Oh, this was so interesting. I want to know from listeners, your view on committing to somebody to kind of, so like marriage, saying, let's do this for X amount of time and let's commit to like try make it work, even though it's upsetting, even though we annoy each other, even though we might fall out of love, fall out of romantic love. Let's commit to like elevating ourselves via communication and like working it out. What do you think of those kinds of contracts? Do you agree? Do you disagree? And why? Anything you guys want to know?
I want to hear the answers. So please, guys, like, Gordon. Please do the things.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you too. Mm-hmm. Yep, nothing to add.
So we're going to link Nalisa's details in the show notes so you can contact her and discuss all the stuff further.
And change your own life.
Yes. Let us know what you want us to discuss next with her about romance and love. Send in your questions. Ask Nalisa.
Yeah.
It's going to be asking
me. Also about like being young, single, and fabulous and like things like that.
Owning your life, owning your space.
Yes.
Taking up more.
Yeah.
Important.
Yeah.